Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one.
All right, time for our weekly chat with Steelers insider, the great Mark Cabali. Mark, how are you?
Pretty good. I see that Donnie Football might have got a promotion. I don't even get a call from him now.
Mueller took the day off to go play golf.
And we have an intern now, so we get to use him to our advantage.
Yes, he speaks very, very fast. I didn't hear one word he said. I just said, okay.
Do you golf, Mark?
I used to, but, you know, there's been some leg issues over the past couple of years. Plus, it was kind of expensive. Plus, I stink. So
I think a funny three-man group would be us two and you, Mark.
No, I'd be a – you know what I am? I'm a great scramble guy because I hit one out of every five shots pretty good. So other than that, I don't know. I might not be able to do it anymore. I'm getting too old for that garbage. Plus, it's too expensive. Plus, I don't have any time. And I'd like to get out there. But you know, I got clubs from 1986, so that doesn't help either.
You got a wooden driver.
I think I do have one somewhere. It's out in my shed. I don't know how people hit with that. But
the Arnold Palmer special.
I think I got it at the flea market in Perryopolis or something back in the day.
Give me the Steeler who made the best impression on Mark Cabali at OTAs this week.
I'm not allowed to say. I could say, actually. I mean, who made the best impression is, once again, I think I'm – who really hasn't been talked to a lot is I've seen George Pickens take it to a little bit different level where he's very, very – confident of himself now, maybe more than what he was last year, even during the season. See him making some plays down the field more than just some of the stuff he was doing last year. So that's a guy that, you know, we're expecting, as in where the media, everybody involved, to take that next step. And you're really not talking a lot about him because some of the other changes on the offensive side of the ball, but I really like what I've seen from him. And you know, they got some big boys up front. I like that. I like, in general, the depth and the size of some of these defensive linemen they brought in. I think they can play any type of style of football that they want to right now with the different types of defensive linemen. They got the short, stocky ones, the ones that can rush the passer. But like I said, I mean, it's just what we're seeing right now. Who knows if that translates into September and October, but right now, I like those couple guys right there.
Mark, piggybacking off that, out of the rookie group, who is one or two of the guys that caught your eye more than the others?
Well, let me see here. Well, Broderick Jones, I always say that about offensive linemen. You can't see anything from them in OTAs. I mean, they got shorts on and
they're just kind of doing their
on.
Pass sets.
Yes, it's just stuff like that. You mean nothing really to do with football, I guess, technique wise, yeah, but until you hit somebody across the mouth, you're not going to be able to tell anything about those rookies. So I can't. I have to really eliminate.
But how about
Parker
his body
Jones.
Type, though? Is he taller? Is he?
He's
is
a
he
little
more
bit
muscular
than I was expecting.
Okay.
I'll tell you one thing. Dan Moore is bigger than him. Dan Moore is in a lot better shape than he was last year. So he must be taking this a little bit seriously as well. He's not about ready to give up that left tackle spot. Doesn't mean he won't eventually do that. Joey Porter seems like a guy that's just a matter of time that he'll take over that starting position. He looks like the real deal. Darnell Washington, I didn't think he was going to practice as much as he has with, you know, whatever injury it was. It doesn't look like they have an injury, but, you know, he might be a guy that's more impressive in game type situations too, because he's not really wowing anybody with his speed, his route running, or anything like that. Now, if he hits the sled, he knocks it over. That's what you're expecting from him. So that's another guy that pretty much stood out a little bit during the Washington, but maybe not a superstar right out of the gate type of thing. I think he's a guy who's going to translate more into game time than practice time.
Mark, do you think Washington is going to be used in the passing offense as a receiver?
I think it's going to be a little bit of everything.
Really?
I mean, be honest with you, I think they're going to use every available option they have, and I'm talking about the Calvin Austin, Allen Robinson's, Washington's, Connor Hayward, whoever it is, to be able to create the matchups that they need. Freiermuth, Gentry in the 2-3 tight end sets. I mean, the key is going to be, I think they have the players in place. We don't know about the coaching or the coordinator quite yet. It seems like, you know, maybe he has things figured out a little bit. But I think leading up to games, the game plan room, you know how they used to sit down with Mike Munchak and come up with all these ideas of how they're going to approach teams or how they're going to attack teams on offense. I think that's huge this year because they have so many different types of ways to attack a team. I mean, you can spread them out. You can get Kenny on the run. You can run power stuff. You can run multiple running back sets. You can run, you know, Austin, Hayward, wherever it is. You can run
Mark, are you buying,
the team, all that type of stuff.
Are you buying that there's all these dimensions and layers to the Matt Canada offense that we haven't seen because Canada was because Kenny was a rookie last year and Ben was too old before that?
Yeah, I could be. I mean, on paper, I think that it might have always been there. And then on paper, it is there again now. But once again, you know, when the bullets start to fly, so to speak, here in September, it doesn't mean he's not going to go back to Old Faithful, you know, hand the ball off left tackle and pound on first down, second and nine, third and eight, and try to get Kenny to somehow convert a third down. I mean, he has to be able to be on his game as well. But I think it's a lot more complex than what we've seen or what we are, you know, some of the experts believe, Steve Smith, of what type of offense that he can put out there. Obviously, it's a pro offense. It is going to be complex. There is going to be different dimensions and layers. But, I mean, once again, until he's been able to prove that, we're not going to know if he can do it.
Mark, how about the role of Allen Robinson? It seems like the younger receivers have already – and Kenny Pickett included, have already talked about the at least locker room type guy that he is, the leadership role that he can play. Because, I mean, you look at that wide receiving group, it's a ton of guys right now, but none of them have been around as long as Allen Robinson. So beyond what he can do on the field, which is maybe limited, do you see him as really the unquestioned leader of that wide receiver group?
I think Deontay might be there right now just because he's been there longer than anybody else. I mean, Allen Robinson obviously knows a lot, and they listen to what he says. You're not going to see much from him on the field here in the summer or in the spring here. I mean, you don't need to see him right now. He'll be out there for a little bit during warm-ups or whatnot, but you want to see what Calvin Austin and some of those other guys can do. But that's what they wanted to do, though. They feel that they need a guy with more knowledge, more veteran leadership than what they had in the past, and that's why they did bring in a guy, you know, was he 29 now, Allen Robinson, who's basically been there and done that with multiple organizations. But Deontay Johnson, he tries, and I give him credit for that. He definitely tries to be the leader, the guy that stands out in front. I don't know how much that actually works, you know, behind the closed doors of being a captain type of guy, a guy who's been around 4 or 5 years, and they're like, okay, Deontay, this is what we're doing. I think Allen Robinson might have a little bit more stroke than that with the guys in the room.
We're talking to Mark Caboli here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Mark, this is a whole new regime. We've seen Omar Khan operate and do things differently from his predecessor. Do you think that they at least talk about, okay, here's an all-pro wide receiver that just became a free agent today?
I'm never going to say never with Omar now, right? I mean, I'm sure he gave a call to see what the price is, but you still got an elite wide receiver right there that's probably going to be in high demand. And unlike a potential trade where you could dictate salary to them, I'm guessing DeAndre Hopkins is going to get pretty expensive sign. So I wouldn't have been shocked if they somehow were able to acquire him as a guy who's a, you know, rental player. But if you're looking for him, he's looking for some cash. I just don't think they go down that route right there. Well, how much I would pay him or how much somebody's going to pay him? Somebody's probably going to pay him a ton, right? I mean, you get a good quarterback in there.
How much do you think he'd be worth to the Steelers?
Well, what's Deontay making more than that? I would imagine. Was Deontay at 18?
Yep.
I mean, you'd have to figure he's more than that. You'd have to figure he's a $20 million. It seems like that's where the elite wide receivers are, what, 20, 21, 22? I'm sure Hopkins is going to get 3 for $60, 4 for $80 somewhere else. Wow. I mean, honestly, he's a superstar who had a very bad offense and a very erratic quarterback over the past couple of years. You put him in the right spot. Imagine throwing him in there with even Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I mean, he's probably going to put a ton of numbers up, or go down to Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville. They got a ton of money. And to be honest with you, you know who has the most money is the Browns. And the Browns are very wide receiver thin. I know they got
Amari Cooper.
They traded for one, and they traded for the guy from the Jets, I believe, right?
Elijah Moore. Yep.
So, I mean, you throw him in there with Deshaun Watson from a couple years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, DeAndre Hopkins putting up big money. I really like him, but I think he's just going to command a lot of money.
Mark, it seems like the Steelers are surrounded by a couple of rumors with the Cardinals. I mean, you guys just threw out the Hopkins one there, but I feel like I see every day, and it's – not always coming from the true insiders of the world, but everybody clamoring for Buda Baker or Isaiah Simmons. Is there any smoke to that at all?
Well, you know, you try to put one and one together there. It looks like there's a fire sale in Arizona, right? Then you look at their best players and say, where would the Steelers need people? And obviously you'd think it would be safety and sort of a roaming linebacker, hybrid linebacker type. Gosh, I don't think you're going to see many moves, any big time moves moving forward at all. I think when they got Marcus Golden, that pretty much solidified their training camp roster. Now, if somebody gets injured, you can move on and revisit that. But I think they're pretty much set of what they're doing right now. Maybe, I guess, if you're looking for some depth at the inside linebacker position, but I don't think it's going to be anybody, you know, who's going to get your hopes up or anything like that. So I think they're pretty much set of this roster, and let's see what happens during training camp and at the end of training camp, and maybe they have to maneuver something. So I don't think anything to that effect. Buda Baker probably wants a ton of money too, right?
Yep. Mark,
I mean, when you're paying Alex Highsmith $18 million bucks here, you're not going to have the room for Buda Baker, right?
Yeah, after being around Highsmith and the team this week, what do you think happens? What's your updated take on the Highsmith
negotiation? Well, you know, Highsmith was in the old group chat set, and I grabbed him afterwards, and I'm like, why are you here? I mean, everybody else wouldn't be out there practicing like that. And he said, oh, whatever. I just feel like I need the work. And he goes, Well, we'll see. He made it sound like that the hold-in is still an option come training camp here. But I still stick with the whole theory that this is going to get done. It's just a matter of when and how much, to be honest with you. They've made up their mind, and I think Alex Highsmith is a guy that's not going to want to go somewhere else for an extra million. Maybe he gives them a little bit of a break, but you can't wait till next year. If you wait till September 11th, you might as well say goodbye to him, because he earned the right to hit free agency, and that's why they want to sign guys like that before the start of the season, because once you hit free agency, you're pretty much gone, unless you're a wide receiver recently with Juju or whatnot. So I can't see any way that Highsmith is not signed to a long-term deal any time between June 15th and, you know, the start of training camp.
They've only signed two edge rushers to extensions, though, in the Tomlin era. You know, this has not been something they've really Watt and Woodley. One guy was an all-time productive player in the playoffs, and the other guys...
Wasn't Woodley and Harrison in 10 or 11 back-to-back years?
I'm talking more guys that were drafted and developed during Tomlin's time. But sure, I mean, Harrison got an extension, but again, he had also put up gigantic numbers. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at, they made the right decision on Dupree, and they're paying the other guy $30 million on the other side, Mark.
Yeah, we focus a lot on the overall number. I mean, if you're going to give him, hypothetically, 4 for 60, I don't know, 4 for 65, Omar and the new Omar, Cole Marco, are smart enough to be able to put this contract in the way where it could be backloaded, where you can get some of the bigger numbers maybe off the board. Who knows if Cam Hayward's going to be there in 2 years? I think his contract's up at 24. Maybe they sign him year to year. What I'm saying is, by the time you get to paying him a ton of money, you can either extend him again, or, you know, you have more free money. So I don't just look at it as, wow, look at this money, we can go buy something else with it, because that first and second year is probably not going to be a ton of money if they don't want it to be a ton of money while they structure the contract. So I wouldn't quite worry about money when it comes to that, or cap hits or anything to that fact. I just like the fact that, you know, I've heard you guys talk about Highsmith and with and without TJ Watt. That's a, you know, that's like a cat chasing his tail there, man. I'll be honest with you. If TJ's in there and Highsmith gets 15 sacks, it's because TJ's in there. If TJ's not in there and Highsmith doesn't get any sacks, it's because he's not in there. You know what I'm saying? You can make the argument both ways to fit your narrative. So I'm not worried about that. If TJ Watt's part of his $28 million is to provide Alex Smith opportunities for 15 sacks, so be it.
Mark, who's closer to being right about Mike Tomlin? Ross Tucker has him third among NFL coaches. I don't have him in the top 10.
I need criteria, man. I mean, what are we talking about here? What are the parameters?
What are they right now?
Right now at this moment?
Yep.
Well, I would probably say, you know, lower end of the top 10. But then do you even put Bill Belichick in there?
Because
he had some terrible last 3 years, right? Do you put Sean McVay in there that sold the soul to the devil to win, you know, a dozen games 3 years in a row? And he was almost out the door because he knew he was going to stink so bad here in the future. So unless you have set parameters of what you're going for as a coach, it's almost impossible to rank these guys. I mean, for Pete Carroll alone, I wouldn't put him in the top 20 just because he was single-handedly lost a Super Bowl for him, you know, the Marshawn Lynch play, right?
Mark, so, he also got them to that Super Bowl and blew out the Broncos the year before with that defense where Manning scored 8 points. They were the highest-scoring team in the league.
You give me
and they got Geno Smith to the friggin' playoffs last year. Revitalized that guy's career.
Hey, you give me the parameters, say, the last 5 years, the last 10 years overall, then I think I can critique anybody's list.
I'm just asking you how you view him right now with Tomlin. How you view him right at the moment.
Right now at the moment, once again, this is one coach's very not many coaches have went through not one, but in the midst or almost through two rebuilds. That's what he's had to do here, you know, the early 2010s and now this year. Yeah, I think you have to take that into account. Who I would put it this way, who would you take over him if you're going to hire somebody? Say Tomlin quits and you can hire anybody. I mean, the Andy Reid's of the world, absolutely. The Shanahan's of the world. But I'm thinking maybe 7 or 8. I'm not throwing Doug Peterson in there. I'm not throwing Nick Sirianni in there just for the fact that it's been such a small sample size. I'm not throwing Sean McVay in there because he wanted to leave once times got rough and they weren't trading for number one picks all over the place. So I would say between the 5 and 10 range right now. But right. Obviously you're riled up about that.
Yes, you have me pegged correctly. And Donnie's going to unveil his own list tonight, Mark, when he's hosting solo on the thing.
You know, what I've learned about Donnie is he's not very good at making lists. The last list he made was like, what was it, the Adam Sandler movie one?
Oh, that yeah, you thought Little Nicky was number one.
Not thought, no.
Oh,
absolutely stunning cast in Little Nicky. We got Harvey Keitel and Dan Marino in the
yeah, yeah,
IMDb
and it had,
list.
It had the guy with boobs on his head, Mark.
Kevin Nealon, right?
Yes.
Legendary movie.
All right, Mark, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
All right, you guys too.
There you go.